I want to share a little bit about the whole area of orphanness and the orphan heart. Now, a long time ago, when we first introduced to this, we were hearing people call it the orphan spirit. But I'll talk a little bit more about it. It's really not a spirit. It's not something you can cast out of somebody. It's a condition of our heart. And it's all about what's going on in our heart, because one of the main tenets of understanding your heart is that you are who you are in your heart, and you can't be anybody else. That's the real authentic you that is coming forth every day, and why we come out that way depends on what things that have happened to us in the past. So I dropped my cord along with me today. I thought somebody might notice it. I wonder what it's going on here. But when we don't have the love of the Father and we're not receiving the love of the Father, we still have needs. And we still have love needs. And we still need to have people receiving love. And so if you're not receiving the love of the Father, most of us go around trying to plug into somebody else, trying to get them to become the power source in our lives. And that's what an orphan heart does. It's trying to get life out of someone else. And the worst example of this is in a marriage. You have two people with orphan hearts that come together in marriage, and now they've got their plugs out there running to plug into that other person. The thought in most of our hearts is that I finally found somebody that's going to meet all my love needs. The only problem is the other person's got that same thought and they got their plug out and they're going, trying to get their love needs met from you. And you can't do that for very long. You just run out of love. But if you're not receiving a continuous flow for the Father's love into your heart, which requires you to have a heart of a son and not to have a heart of an orphan, you're going to run out of it, and sooner or later things are not going to be like they were when you were dating and first married, when everything was ooey-gooey and exciting and new, and life becomes more routine, and suddenly you realize that you're not getting any more juice. Nothing's coming out of that other person. There's a whole book that really focuses on that. It's called Two Fleas and No Dog. It's that whole idea of trying to suck the lifeblood out of that other person, because, and it just doesn't work. That's why a lot of marriages after a couple of years end up in divorce court, because there's no life left. And that's why you hear people say, well, I'm falling out of love. Well, the love they thought they were getting from the other person was just a natural fleshly love and not the love of the Father. And so, yeah, they need to fall back into love first with the Heavenly Father so that you have love to give away. You know, Father's plan was that a husband and wife would come together having already received love from the Father so that you have love to give away to somebody else. Because you can't give away what you haven't received. So you have to have love first in your heart, receive love from the Father in order to be able to love, release love to another person. And the design was that both of you come into that marriage with love in your heart, and you have love to give away. And so you come into the marriage and say, I have all my love needs now. What can I do to make you feel loved? And the other person comes in and says, I have all my love needs met. What can I do to make you feel loved? And then one of the laws of love is when you give, you receive, and you receive more than you gave, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And so you give love, and you receive love back, and there's more love coming back than you're giving, and you get more love to give. And that's the kind of relationship the Father really wants us all to have in a marriage. And if you're single, even in relationships with other people, you can release love. You can help other people receive the Father's love yourself. A couple other images I had was, one was a puzzle with one piece missing. I don't know how many of you like to put puzzles together, but Sue and I do. And you're really looking at that picture, and you're putting the pieces together, and it's coming together, and all you're getting really more and more excited just wanting to see this completed picture. And you get to the end and you realize there's a piece missing. And to me, it's like, that doesn't look right. And you don't get the excitement that you do when you get that last piece and you can put it in there and you see the whole picture and everything's pretty and you've accomplished something. And I don't ever feel like I've accomplished it. That one piece is missing. And in an orphaned heart, that's sort of the way you feel. There's something missing. When we were in children's ministry, there was called the Donut Man. This thing was the image of the donut, that there's a hole in our heart. And he was talking about that hole being Jesus, but I see it also, the orphaned heart has a hole in it. There's something missing, and it's the love of the Father. And I had another image of a compass that's broken. It's not working right, it's stuck. And it isn't able to keep you going in the right direction. And you get confused and lost, and you can get into all kinds of problems because your compass isn't pointing. And if we have this orphan heart, we're not able to hear the Father. We're not able to get the directions that we need and go the direction He wants us to go. And so we're kind of like that stuck compass that's unable to find the right direction, and we can wander off in the wrong direction and get into all kinds of problems. And some of those problems can even be dangerous and life-threatening. And then I also thought about a picture, and I have Photoshop, and I can take a colored picture, and I can click a button, and it will become a black and white picture. And I can make it look like an antique old black and white picture, or it can have color. And I realized that an orphan heart is a lot like a black and white picture. Life is kind of lifeless. There's no color to it. There's no excitement. There's no joy. You know, the last 15 years, like Sue was saying last night, she's kind of more bouncy than I am. Maybe I need to plug into her. But I can attest to the fact that since we have started turning and walking more and receiving more of the Father's love, it's just become so bright, so colorful, so enjoyable. Life had gotten to be a very routine, boring thing, and we were doing a lot of good stuff, and we were in children's ministry and traveling all over the place and just burning ourselves out. And it was just lifeless. There was these little glimpses of excitement and fun, but there was a whole lot of gray, uncolorful parts to our lives. And now it's just, wow. When you start getting into that relationship that I was describing to you, where you're receiving your love from the Father and your husband or wife is receiving love from the Father and you're giving and receiving love between each other, it's just so beautiful. It's just colorful. It's just a great life to live. Well, I want to caution you all not to be too much introspective here. Call it belly button gazing. We're all in this together, and there's no shame, there's no guilt, there's no condemnation, there's no feelings bad about yourself. I walked through that mess and muck for 40-some years of my life, and it's not where the Father wants us to be, and I don't want you to go there either. I'm going to have a bright ending to this. There's a good side to this. As you start getting free from this orphan heart and healing in your heart, there is a new life ahead of you. And it's worth walking there and going that direction and whatever it takes to get there to begin to receive the Father's love. And one of the things that really blocks that ability for us to receive the Father's love is this orphan heart. This heart that is fatherless. Thing is that love covers, and we're not going to want to expose anything, and the Holy Spirit doesn't want to drag you through all this stuff from the past or anything like that. We're going to talk about how the past can affect us, but you have a bright future. You have a great, glorious future ahead of you, and I want you to be future-focused and not past-focused. Don't be ruled by your history, but be ruled by your destiny. Look at what's ahead. Look at what's lying ahead of you as you walk free from the orphan heart and into a heart of sonship. This afternoon, I'm going to be talking about how you become a son. Well, as we're preparing for this lesson, I started looking at the scriptures, and once your eyes are open to things, it's just amazing. You begin to see it almost on every page. Like once our eyes were open to the Father, we began to see the Father everywhere. Just like Sue said, 109 times the Father's mentioned just in the book of John. And you think, well, where was he in the Old Testament? Well, wow, there's all kinds of examples of him being in the Old Testament. And this whole area of having an orphan heart or heart of a son, once I got an understanding of what the difference was there, I started seeing that in the scriptures, all throughout the scriptures. There's a lot of stories about men and women who had orphan hearts that did things out of the orphanness in their heart and not out of being sons and daughters. And I was just thinking about some of them, like Cain. He slew his brother, he killed his brother because of an orphanness in his own heart, the feelings that he had against his brother that he shouldn't really have had. You got Moses, who gets frustrated at the people and strikes the rock instead of doing what the Father said to speak to the rock. He hits it with a staff to bring the water forth. You have people like Abraham, who gets impatient waiting for God's promise, and so he creates Ishmael instead of being patient for the Father to come through with what he had promised. He lost his trust in his heavenly Father. And you get examples like Peter and allowing fear to come over him, or you get James and John, who were ready to call down fire on the people. Jesus had to say, you know, you don't know what spirit you're talking about. And Ananias and Sapphira. And one of the really poignant stories that shows the difference between sons and orphans is the story of the 12 spies that went in to spy out the land. They were all chosen as leaders. They were the leaders of their tribes, the 12 tribes. They picked one from each tribe, and they all went to the land that God had promised them. Said, go in and take it. It's yours. Father was giving them something to do, and he was there saying, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to take care of this. We've walked through the wilderness, and you've seen how I've taken care of you and your food and protected you and everything, and you go and take the land. But they came back, and 10 of them had orphan hearts. All they could see was the big giants in the land and how little they were, and how able they would be able to kill these big giants of people. The people of Anak, they said, were 7 to 10 feet tall. So they were big men, big warriors out there that they were going to have to face in battle. And they couldn't see anything. They couldn't believe that the Father was going to be there for them and take care of them. There were only 2 sons, and those were Caleb and Joshua. They said, hey, the Father said take it. He said he'd be with us. We've got the confidence. We've seen him do it before, and he's going to do it again and take us into the land that's ours. And they were acting as sons to a father. Well, what happened, the 10 of the 12 men ended up dying of a plague, and they never received their inheritance. It was only the 2 sons, Caleb and Joshua, who acted like sons and had a father that did come through for them, that had gave an inheritance to him. So that's one of the differences between the orphan heart and the heart of a son. Is the orphan heart, you don't have an inheritance. You don't have a father. You don't have anybody to pass on anything to you. It's only the sons that have that inheritance. And I was thinking about Matthew in chapter 7, where he's telling the people about there's going to be people coming to the gate to enter the kingdom of heaven, and he's going to tell them, I didn't know you, I never knew you. And he's going to ask them to leave. And they say, well, wait, what a minute, what do you mean? I prophesied, I healed the sick, I raised the dead, I've done all these things. And Jesus said, well, Well, I didn't never knew you. Well, I got to be got thinking about that. Why would he say that he never knew them? Well, they were doing good things, but the attitude of their heart wasn't there. They weren't doing them out of an attitude of love. It's not specifically stated in the scripture, but I see that they were probably doing them out of a heart of pride or power. They thought they were doing good things, thought in their mind that this was the right thing to do, and they were all doing them, and they thought for sure they were going to be in the kingdom of heaven with this. And they never really connected heart to heart with Jesus, and they never connected heart to heart with the Father. They were doing them out of their own self and their self-motivation and interest, and not out of the heart of the Father. And you can only really connect to the Father heart to heart, and it's only through His love and through His comforting love that we can do that. As I was thinking about that, I came across the scripture verse, Hebrews 6:10. It says, "For God, the faithful one, is not unfair. How can He forget the works you have done for Him? He remembers the love you demonstrate as you continually serve His beloved ones for the glory of His name." Now that, to me, is why I see that those people who came to the gate and were told to leave, they were not doing it out of love. It was not a motivation of love, but something else was driving them to do that. And the whole thing about this orphan heart is it's this pre-programming of our heart that causes us to go that direction. And you can trace this programming being passed on from generation to generation all the way back to Adam and Eve. And just as Sue was talking about last night, the whole thing about them eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it awakened their conscience. It awakened their awareness of good and evil and right and wrong. They started evaluating and looking at life from the perspective of, is this the right thing to do or is this the wrong thing to do? Instead of looking at it from a motivation of love, is this the loving thing to do? Is this the thing the Father would be doing? Is this the thing that Jesus would be doing? And instead, this filter came over them as they ate of this tree that brought this knowledge and consciousness was awakened. And we began to see life through this filter of this good and evil, right and wrong. Everything was evaluated from that. And Father never stopped His relationship with Adam and Eve, but Adam and Eve's relationship with Him died that day. They were separated from the Father. They became fatherless. And really that's the whole definition of an orphan, is someone who doesn't have a father, is a fatherless person. And having an orphan heart is having no relationship with a heavenly Father. You know, Adam was made in the image of God, but Seth, who became the father of all mankind, was created in the image of Adam, a fallen, fatherless, orphan-hearted Adam. And so this orphan tendency, this orphan heart, began to become a generational tendency that was passed on from generation to generation to generation. And so this filter over our heart began to change the way we lived our lives. And really, I like Sue came up with this thought the Father gave her, as it was identity theft. You know, we talk about how we're so concerned about getting our identity stolen by hackers that get into websites and pick up information about us and use it in wrong ways. But this is an identity theft of taking away the identity of being sons and daughters and being replaced by that of being a servant to a master. And that master was Satan. Satan was cast out of heaven. We hear Jesus describe that scene where Satan thought that he could become father. He didn't need a father, but he could run things better than God did. And that he wanted to take over. And he's really the source of this whole idea of an orphan spirit. He's the real true orphan spirit because he separated himself and he was separated from God because of his attitude of his heart. All those, I will, and I will do this, and I will be in control of everything, and instead of realizing that he needed a father. And so he came to the earth and he created an orphan-focused world. And he got man to believe the lie that they didn't need a father. And you just think about what we're seeing in the direction of our whole country and the whole world is right now. It's an orphan-focused world. We think we can get along without a father. We don't need a father. Just like Satan didn't think he needed a father. He didn't need a father figure in his life to guide and direct and take care of his life. And so that identity of being a son and a daughter was stolen that day and replaced by this servant-master relationship. So it's not a matter of having an orphan spirit that it needs to be cast out. The way we replace an orphan heart is to replace it with the love of the Father. It's only a Father that can remove that orphanness and remove that orphan heart from us, and we can begin to walk in the comforting love of a Heavenly Father. The thing that's missing in the orphan heart is the Father, and that opens us up to this whole sinful lifestyle and choosing to live an orphan life and getting into all the trouble that we end up getting into, making the bad choices that we end up doing. What we want is to allow that comforting love to change that image back, give us back that son, that daughter image of the Father and his relationship with him, and allow that authentic person, the real you, the real person inside of you, you're a son or you're a daughter, and you have a Father, and he loves you as much as he loved Jesus. That's what Jesus told us in John 17:23. So what happens is that we have a natural father. All of us had to have a natural father that created the first cell that ended up developing into who you are as a person, bringing your whole body into existence. And that's why, you know, the scriptures say that the only way into the earth is through the womb of a woman. Woman's part of her way she's made is to put a body around that spirit so that we have a body to live in here on the earth. And so we do all have a natural father. I'm talking about is the father-son relationship of a heavenly father on the spiritual side of things. That's what Sue was talking about with Adam and Eve. They had that father-son relationship. That's the one I'm talking about, where the father came down and they received his love and they gave love back to the father, and the father took care of everything for them and he taught them. And I'm sure there was a lot going on in those interchanges every evening when he came down and talked with them. And there was this love-flowing relationship between a father and his son and daughter. But for us now in this fallen world that we're living in this orphan-focused world that we're living in, people end up getting hurt. That's word that was non-existent in the kingdom. And you think about, there's a whole bunch of words that were used in the kingdom and they didn't have no meaning because there was no reason for them. Things like hurt and pain and loss and suffering and dying. You just think about all the words that they didn't need to know in the kingdom of God in the beginning with Adam and Eve. There were words they really didn't need because they wouldn't have any purpose in their lives. But that loving relationship was all lost when they ended up having to leave the garden. There was a separation between them and the Father, and this orphan heart began to develop inside of them. And the pain and the hurt, hurting people hurt other people. And so if your mother and father had pain in their heart, if they were hurting when they were growing up, they got hurt by their parents, the tendency is to hurt your children. So you get this cycle of pain, you get this cycle of wounding that takes place. The mother and father were hurt growing up themselves. They become adults. They have children. That pain is there. Hurting people hurt other people, and they hurt their children. They don't want to. They don't mean to. I'm not here to say I'm bashing parents at all. They did the best job they could. And in Romans it says that the fathers did what they thought were right. And they tried to do the right thing. This whole knowledge of good and evil, they really had this veil, this lens over their hearts. And so we get hurt as children, and then we react to that. Because the other thing that's true is that hurting people make bad choices. What happened to me, I had a very passive father that didn't feel comfortable expressing love. He was an only child, so I can only imagine some of the challenges and wounding that he received growing up. And he had this explosive anger. One of the things that happens as we get hurt is it develops what you refer to as like triggers. When you pull a trigger on a weapon, and it fires a bullet and it goes out the barrel and down the range. And so these triggers of my dad would just trigger him into these angry rages, and he would take it out on us boys. And so I pulled away from the relationship. I remember I was 11 years old. I was in the kitchen of our house. My brother was down in the basement being chased around by my dad. He had an army belt that he would try to hit us anywhere he could hit us, and hearing my brother pleading for him to stop. And I made a decision. I'm not going down the basement. I'm not going to experience that. And I was going to become an obedient child. But when I did that, I closed my heart to my dad. I pulled away from that relationship. I lived in the house. He took care of me. He protected me. He fed me. He clothed me. Sent me to college. A lot of good things that he did for me, but there was no heart-to-heart relationship. No father-son relationship. It was just an obedient son who was being obedient out of fear and not out of love or honoring a parent. And we can become and take on this whole orphan heart, this whole condition of withdrawal. And I took control of my life. And one of the things that I was thinking about that the Father showed me was that not only do we see the Heavenly Father in relationship to how our earthly father was, and I certainly saw the Heavenly Father as this God that could get angry and explode upon the people and rip the earth out of them, and all the people fall in. They could send the fire and brimstone down on Sodom and Gomorrah. He could do all these, what I thought were very angry, explosively angry things, like my dad was. My dad was not comfortable with love. He was kind of not touchy-feely at all and never expressed love to me. And I thought that was the way the Father was. He was up on the earth. And so I had this fear of God that was kind of just this mental picture I had of who God was. So we can relate to our Heavenly Father like we related to our earthly father, or the father figure that you had in your life. And what really the Lord showed me was is that I can also have that same image in regards to sonship. Because as I started getting introduced to sonship, I was filtering it through how I was a son, or was not really a very good son, to my earthly father. You know, I became very independent. I withdrew. I pulled everything in, held my emotions in. I separated myself from my father. And I was thinking that was the way sonship was. And I was very independent. Even as we got walking into this revelation of sonship, I was still in control. I was still not allowing the Father to father me. And that made a huge impact on me. The reality is that I was looking at the whole area of sonship the wrong way too. I had to change some things here in my thinking, and we'll talk about more about that this afternoon. And so a lot of the way we respond to life is based upon how we were impacted as children growing up. And psychologists and everything say those first 7 years of life are so important. The first month is the most important, the first year is the next most important, then the first 2 to 3 years, and then 5 to 7 years. Those are all steps in emotional development and the way we see life and the way we're going to respond to life. And so anything that was happening during those years was impacting how we're going to respond to life as adults, unless we are able to change. Now that can be good or bad. There's some of us who are blessed with very good parents and blessed with loving relationships and things, and went well. And that's great. You know, that's the way the plan was, is to have good, godly, loving parents that treated their children with love, who then could grow up and become loving people themselves. The thing is that we respond to what's already stored in our cellular memory. And if it was good, then we're going to respond in good ways. But if what was stored in our cellular memory was not good, we're going to respond out of that, out of the pain, out of the lies, out of the ungodly beliefs, out of the negative emotions and feelings. Or we're going to respond out of the godly, or good things that happened to us growing up, then we're going to respond out of those, out of the godly beliefs that we got from the good experiences we had, and out of the truths that we got out of the good experiences, and out of the good feelings and emotions that we got from those good experiences. I'm not trying to paint a picture that everything was bad. I had good experiences with my parents, and we had fishing trips and things that were really fun things. We had hunting together, and one of the things my dad used to do was trim my fingernails. It was one time when he would touch me and he would put me on his lap because it was easier for him to reach around in front of me with the fingernail clippers and clip my fingernails and toenails. And so it was a time he had his arms around me. And I still have just good feelings, and I remember those times of him doing that, even though they weren't very often, but that was still a time when I really did have a good feeling about my dad. So if you're really wondering whether or not what's going on in your heart, just take a look at how you respond to situations in life. And it's a really good gauge as to whether or not there's still some, maybe there's some orphan parts. You might not have a completely orphan heart, but you may be walking in some sonship, walking in some areas of salvation and being able to forgive and that, but there may still be some orphanness in your heart. And so all you have to do is see how you're responding to life situations, and are they positive responses? Are you responding in love? Are you responding in forgiveness? Are you responding in fellowship? And or are you having negative emotions and negative responses? For us that are married, that's something that is really easy for me. I can see how I'm responding to Sue and how Sue's responding back to me, and I think, oh, there's another area. Why am I doing that? Well, it's because there's a stored cellular memory of things from my past that's triggering these short circuits that are causing me to respond in a way that I really don't want to. One of the truths of the heart is that the heart acts instantaneously and automatically. It goes through all the cellular memory, makes its decision how it's going to respond, and responds just that fast. And our will and anything else doesn't have a vote. We think that we're going to will to do this differently. We make all these declarations and come up with all these plans of how we're going to do our next year, and we're still doing this response thing. We're still that quick response because we haven't dealt with the root issue, and the will doesn't stop it. The heart makes the decision and goes ahead and responds before we have a chance to do anything else. The place that we need the comforting love, we need the Father to come and remove those areas that are still in our heart that cause us to respond the way we do. And Sue and I, we've been doing this for 14 years, and just recently we had to sit down and ask the Holy Spirit to show us, why am I still responding this way? Why am I still doing this? And the Father and the Holy Spirit very clearly points, well, you haven't dealt with this, and you haven't dealt with that. We're going to get to the end of that this afternoon about becoming a son. That's allowing the Father to father you. Not only is it making him father, but then to become a son to your father is really allowing him to father you and go into those places where you need to have that healing. You need to have that fatherless parts, those orphanness removed from your heart. One of the things that is very prevalent is that if you're not walking in joy, the chances are you've still got some orphanness in your heart that's preventing that from coming forth. Just like Sue said, it's a quote from C.S. Lewis, the most serious thing going on in heaven is fun and joy. There's parties going on all the time in heaven. It says that the angels rejoice that every time a sinner is brought into the kingdom. So you think about, there's 10, 20,000 of the parties going on every day up in heaven, to all the celebrating all the people coming into the kingdom. Heaven's a joyful place. And that's where he wants us to be. And Jesus said that in John 15:10-12, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. And you got to be careful when you start reading about commandments. Most of us think of the Ten Commandments and the law, and that's coming from that knowledge of tree of good and evil. The two commandments that Jesus focused on, that says that everything else hinges on these, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. And he also gave him another little commandment there, and you abide in my love. So love is the commandment that Jesus is talking about that produces joy in our heart. And it's that freedom. When you think of a little toddler, Jesus said, in the kingdom of heaven, you have to come as a little child. Well, that Greek word for little child means toddler, person that is a little tiny person. You think how joyful little toddlers are. Their biggest decision every day is, what am I going to do next to have fun? And they're looking around trying to figure out what the next fun thing is going to be to do, or what they're going to explore next in this whole new world, that this new adventure that they're on, discovering their world. And I've just seen joy as the glue that kind of sticks everything together and keeps the heart connected and together. And the joy and the comforting love of the Father, when we get our hearts healed, when Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted, when he brings that healing to that heart, then it's the joy and the comforting love that keeps it stuck together, that keeps it going in the right direction. And the more of it we get, and the longer it's there, the stronger it becomes, and the more we can deal with all the hurtful and painful things and the traumatic things that might still come at us. If we have that joy strength, if we have that joy and the love of a loving Father in us, we can deal with them in a positive way and come out and responding to them in the way the Father really wants us to. So this orphan heart can affect us in a variety of different ways. And just want to just kind of touch up on a few of them before we go into a little ministry time, just to focus on, maybe get you to thinking about, are there still possibly some orphanness in my heart that needs to be touched by the Father with his comforting love and coming as a Father to father me? So orphan hearts only see their limitations. They don't see a Father that's there to take care of them and supply their needs. They feel like they have to do everything on their own. They have to achieve everything that they're going to do in life by their own efforts. And orphans don't have the experiential knowing in their heart of a loving Father. Unfortunately, orphanness has gone into the church, and you can be what James Jordan refers to as an orphan Christian. Orphan Christianity doesn't have an experiential knowing of the Father, it only has a theological one. We read it in the scriptures. We read 1 John 4 says God is love. And oh yes, I got that one down. I got it in my mind now. He's love. That's all I need to know about it. And they never experience the love for themselves. That's the thing that changes our heart, is the experiential knowing of the Father. Orphans aren't able to be led by love or led by the Father because they can't hear the Father's voice. So they come up with all these lists of things, the do's and the don'ts, the 10 steps to this and the 12 steps to that. And instead of being led by love and led by the Father and doing what Jesus would do, he'd go to the Father and ask him what to do. They try to do it on their own or come up with these plans to run their lives. And the orphans can only see their fatherless identity. They can't see themselves as sons and daughters. It's just blocked in their understanding, in their heart. And they live by this false self. If we haven't received love, then we're going to try to become someone and act like someone that we think other people will love. And so we live this false life, and we can begin to believe that's who we really are, instead of just allowing the Father's love in us to come out. We live for God rather than living from God. The orphan's hearts lack the spiritual understanding and revelation from the Word. One thing that has been really apparent to Sue and I is we've gotten more and more of the Father's love in us. There's more revelation flowing. We're just reading the scriptures and we're seeing things we've never seen before because the Father's able to speak to us. We're able to hear His voice. We're in touch with Him heart to heart. And He's communicating with us. Most orphan hearts have difficulty with relationships. They're usually very surface level. And we talk on news, weather, and sports. Most of the people that come to church, you just listen to the conversations and it's all about news, weather, and sports. There's nothing about something personal. There's nothing about opening your heart, sharing about anything that might make you transparent or vulnerable as someone else. Orphan hearts lack the sensitivity of feeling the needs or seeing the emotional needs or being able to experience joy and experience laughter and being able to connect heart to heart with someone else. Orphans' hearts get their identity from what they do and not who they are. Our identity needs to come from the fact that we're sons and daughters, not from all the good works that we try to do to make people think that we're sons and daughters. And orphans have a problem being close to the Father. I want you just to close your eyes and I want you to picture the Father and you, if you can. And if you can't, that's okay. Don't be uptight or centered about that, but this might be a new experience for you. But with your eyes closed, do you see an image? Does the image maker presenting to you an image of the Heavenly Father or to Jesus? And if you do see that image, where is He? Is He on the other side of the room? Is He up in heaven? Is He sitting next to you? What way are you interacting with Him? Now, when I close my eyes and try to allow the Father's image to come to me, I see myself sitting on His lap with His arms around me and my head against His chest and feeling His warmth and feeling the love flowing from Him. It's a good little thing for you to do is on a regular basis, it helps you become aware of the presence of the Father. You know, one of the things we need to realize is that He's continuously pouring out His love for us. He's continuously with us. That's why He said He'll never leave or forsake us. And the Lord really kind of brought something in my heart that really brought joy to me. When you're with someone that you really love or you really have joy, friendship or fellowship with, you don't want to leave. When Sue and I were dating and I was getting really drawn to her very emotionally and love ways, I didn't want to leave. We went to different colleges, and we would only see each other on the weekends, and it was a time when we had to part. But if you were really having fun and fellowship and joining with somebody, you don't want to leave them. You want to be around with them. You don't want to have that broken, that fellowship. And what the Lord dropped in my heart was, is that that's the way He is with us. That's the way He's with me. He's having so much fun being with us and playing with us and enjoying us and helping us do projects and do things. And it's just such an enjoyable thing to Him that that's the furthest thing from His thoughts is to ever leave. That's why it's easy for Him to say, I'll never leave or forsake you, because I'm having too much fun. I'm having too much enjoyment in being with you. Orphan hearts can be really easily overwhelmed with shame and guilt and low self-esteem, self-image. Feel like you're alone. Those were feelings and emotions that I dealt with all growing up and into my adult life. I had withdrawn, I had pulled myself in to protect myself. One of the fears I had was when people would reject me, so I would reject everyone else before they had a chance to reject me. And I could be in a crowd of people at our church and feel like I was totally alone. I didn't have anybody, or feel like there was any way to connect to anyone. And it was all because of this fear, underlying fear of rejection. And orphan hearts are uncomfortable with love. It's not comfortable to be touching and feeling and have emotions and express emotions and things. And we can fall for the seven P's that we heard Jack Frost talk about, the counterfeit affections. Power and control, passion of the flesh, people, places, position, possessions, and performance. So I want to take the last couple minutes here and just allow the Father to come and the Holy Spirit to come, if things have been bubbling up with you from what I've shared. There's maybe some reality that maybe there are still some orphan areas in your heart. Maybe there's some orphanness there that the Father would like to come and remove and take care of. And one of the things that we realize is that we can't love the Father. We can only respond to the Father out of the love that He gives us. We love Him because He first loved us. We first have to receive His love. And I want to help you receive more of His love and experience more of His love this morning, so that you have love to give back to Him and that you have love to give out to other people. There's this love flow. He loves us, we love Him. He loves us, we love other people. And we just allow ourselves to be in that flow of the love that's flowing between Him and the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. There's this love triangle going on between them, and we get in the middle of it. We allow His love to flow through us. In John 14, Jesus says that, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. And that's what the Father says, I will not leave you an orphan. And in 2 Corinthians 6:8, you used it last night, I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters. He wants us to come home. That's what why we titled this, Turning Your Heart Towards Home. He wants you to turn your heart towards home fully, giving Him everything, getting rid of anything that would hinder you from receiving more and more of His love. So as I was thinking about this, I saw that there were two groups of people that were going to be here today. And one of those groups are the ones that are still dealing with the A and B wounds that the psychologists talked about. The type B wounds are the ones that we all know about. The abusiveness, the painful things, the traumatic things that wounded our hearts. Those really severely wounding ones. But there's also the A wounds, which are the ones that we have love needs, and whenever we didn't get those love needs met, then there was a wound that went into our heart. And so the A wounds are a lot of the things that we should have received. We should have received things that brought love to us, but we didn't. for whatever reason. Like my dad didn't feel comfortable with love, so there was no way that I was ever going to get touched and hugged and held and told that he loved me, because he was uncomfortable. So those are the A wounds that can impact us. And I wasn't sure whether I was going to do this, but the Father just kept bringing it back to me. So this little ballad that was written in 2007 by Reba McEntire, just listen to her heart, and it's really the best example I can give you of the A wound area that we're talking about. It's called The Greatest Man I Never Knew. The greatest man I never knew lived just down the hall, and every day he said hello, but never touched at all. He was in his paper and I was in my room. How was I to know he thought I hung the moon? The greatest man I never knew came home late every night. He never had too much to say, too much was on his mind. I never really knew him. Oh, now it seems so sad. Everything he gave to us took all he had. Then the days turned into years and the memories to black and white. He grew cold like an old winter wind blowing across my life. The greatest words I never heard, I guess I'll never hear. The man I thought could never die has been dead now for almost a year. He was good at business, but there was business left to do. He never said he loved me. Guess he thought I knew. That really struck home to my heart, and it just is a poignant little ballad about how we can have our hearts wounded just by a lack of receiving what we needed in the way of love. So I want to pray first for those that may feel like they have this stronger wounding in their hearts, and just want you to pray this prayer out loud with me if you identify with that area of your life, to help the Father to come now and to bring healing to you. Please pray this with me. You feel like you would like to have someone pray with you or just touch you or hold you or minister to you. We have some people here. You can raise your hand and indicate to them, or feel comfortable to letting them put their hand on your shoulder to let them allow the love of the Father. We're all here believing that the Father's using us to his love to flow into you. So go and pray this with me, and just pray a prayer of forgiveness for our parents, because the way we get free from all this wounding, all this A and B wounding that we may have experienced, is through forgiveness, taking them to the cross, taking everything and these painful memories and everything to the cross and letting go of them and leaving them there. So let's just follow along in this prayer as we pray together. Father, I thank you for creating my father in your image. With all my heart, I forgive him for not becoming all you created him to be. I realize now that he needed the healing that I'm even now receiving. Some way, somehow, Lord, as I accept and forgive my Father, may his life, as it has been handed on to me, become all you ever intended it to be. Lord, I do forgive him all his offenses against me. I do accept him as he is, an unhealed and needy person. There, but for your grace, I would be. I thank you for all you made him to be, all you created him to be. I will look for the real person you intended him to be. And in your name, I will affirm it whenever I see it. I look to you now for the affirmation I always wanted, and so badly needed from Him. Love Him when you can, Lord, through me. In Jesus' name, amen. So it needs to be that little boy, that little girl that was hurt and wounded and experienced the pain and the trauma that, or the loss. It's that little boy, little girl now that just says, Dad, I forgive you. Mom, I forgive you. I release you. I let you go. And I release you from all the debt that you can never repay me. I just let it all go. I know now that you are just hurting in your own heart. And I just release it now and let it go. I just give it all to Jesus. It's important to see it out of you and onto the cross. And getting rid of all the things that you wish you had had. You wish that your dad or mom had done differently. And just release it all out of you and give it to Jesus. Let Him take it and leave it at the cross. And then leave your parents at the cross. And then just see yourself walk around to the other side of the cross and see your parents through the finished work of the cross. See them as the eyes that Father has towards your parents. Or those who were parents to you. Or even anyone else who may have impacted you in a hurtful or wrong way. And just see them through the finished work of the cross. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Now there's the other group that I saw, where there are some of you who have walked through some of this forgiveness and the dealing with father and mother issues and releasing them and letting go. But there still may be some triggers. There still may be some orphanness in your heart. Some areas that you're still holding on to some pain, some painful memories. If there's things that when you think of them or they come back to you, a memory, and it's painful or hurtful, it's still something that brings negative emotions to you. It's an area that Jesus wants to come and remove and get out of your heart. And Jesus said He came to heal the brokenhearted and set the captives free. And He has the keys to those areas of your heart that have locked away all these painful memories and these painful feelings and emotions. And He wants to take them. So just now I want you just to ask Jesus to come. Jesus, You come. You be the healer of my broken heart. You take the things that I still am hanging on to, they're still there, and I need to get rid of. Things that are hindering me from receiving more of the Father's love. The things that are causing me to respond ways that I don't want to do to other people. Jesus, You come and open those areas now and take away those negative memories, those negative emotions and feelings, the pain, the things that I need to get rid of. Just cleanse it and clean it and take it all out. So just see Jesus coming and just releasing it. See yourself giving it to Him and letting Him reach into your heart and take it out. It's really important to see it out of you and into His hands or under the cross. People just see it in different ways. Just allow the Holy Spirit to show you Jesus coming and taking it. And just start releasing. Releasing the pain that's in your heart still. Releasing those negative memories. Anything that the Holy Spirit might bring up to you, just let go of it. Don't hang on to it. Take this. Take that. Take all the feelings of shame and guilt. Take all the feelings of all the painful memories. Take all the anger and the rage and the loneliness and the... Take all the hurt, all the feelings of being inferior, or all the fears. Father, just Jesus, just take them all. Take every fearful thought. Take every ungodly belief that I've tried to hang on to. Take every lie. Just take them all, Jesus. Just take them out of my heart. Just release them. See yourself letting go. Letting them go. Jesus, just take them all. Take them all. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your cleansing, your healing taking place in everyone's hearts. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. More gone. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now, Father, I just ask you to come and fill all those empty places in their heart. Bring your comforting love, your healing comforting love. It changes the heart. Just allow them to fill full and overflowing with your love. Pour in your love. Pour in godly things, good things, everything that's good and perfect and lovely, good report. Just pour into their lives and pour into their hearts. Give them a new image of themselves, no longer with an orphan heart, but the heart of a son, the heart of a daughter. He is our healer. He is our comforter. He is the one that can comfort each one of you. This Father, just put your loving arms around every person in here. Let them feel your love. You be the Father that they've never had or always wanted growing up. You come and Father them now. Good taste.